I'm ready to. All right, welcome to It Is What It Is. I'm Shawn Marie.
I'm Jean.
And today we're going to do the review of Fatal Vows.
Vows. You're winning.
Oh, I'm doing it like a school. Vows. Anyway, out of Fort Worth, Texas, it's season 7, episode 2, The Honky Tonk.
The Honky Tonk Killer. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One killer, not killers. Wow. Just one. One that's old and a lady. But anyway, so in this story is...
Well, spoiler alert!
What?
I'm just kidding.
What?
Go ahead.
Someone obviously dies if we're talking about it. They don't know who dies. The old lady could be the dead one.
That's true. Not anymore.
Yeah, who knows? Okay, so Urban Shorty Robinson, who was born December 22nd, 1952... lived in Fort Worth, Texas. There was a bar he used to go to that was called the Moose Lodge. I'm assuming it's like the Eagles Lodge in a way.
Maybe.
I didn't look into it. I should have, but I didn't. He always dressed like a cowboy with the cute plaid shirt, the fancy cowboy shirts with the cute little vest and the boots and the tight jeans with your Copenhagen. And the cuteness in the hat.
In Texas.
Mm-hmm. That's what he did. All the time.
And all the days.
And he rode a bike. Yeah, he rode a motorcycle. His pattern was simple. It went work, bar, home. Every day.
So he was pretty consistent.
Very consistent.
Yeah.
Work, bar, home. Nothing changed. So, one day, he goes out to the bar, and he goes dancing, because he's a big fan of dancing as well. He loves country line dancing and all that fun shit, and...
Rootin' tootin' fun, I guess.
And that's where he meets Cotton. I'm not going to say her real name, because we obviously now know who the killer is. It's Cotton. So he meets Cotton. She is not from there. From this little Paiutic County
Bay. Fort Worth?
Little area. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little cute little section of Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. It's like a cute little town. Which, I mean, it just looks cute. But southern towns all look cute to me because they're small.
Yeah. And Fort Worth is right there by Dallas. So Dallas is stupid big. Ugh.
Before I say this next part, Shorty, because we're going to call them by their nicknames because I fucking love their nicknames. And that's what drew me to this.
Yeah.
The minute it started, I was like, oh shit, okay. You got me hooked with Cotton and Shorty. I am hooked. Anyway, so Shorty was previously married 7 times.
It's not me, it's
Cotton
you.
Cotton is the 8th wife. And she drives an 18-wheeler, and she's also a biker.
Yeah.
And when you watch the episode, you're going to be like, this lady was so cute and adorable. And then you look up what she looks like. They exaggerate quite a bit. Anyway, so she has 8 failed marriages behind her. Mm-hmm. So Shorty is her 9th. So we've had experience in forms of marriage.
You know, at that point, me personally, I might just not ever make it official.
Right.
I was like...
Just date. Just be a dater of sorts. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You can have a commitment to somebody without the legal paperwork for tax benefits.
So, Cotton was getting... She goes on the road a lot, and she's getting bored on the road, and she's getting lonely on the road. So, he gets her a precious little adorable puppy. Cute little puppy to go along with her. Which we also know a trucker who travels with a cute little dog.
Yeah.
And it's cute. It's cute. Her dog's adorable, though. He looks just like Wishbone.
Yep.
If you guys remember that movie, it's cute. His name's Oliver. He's cute. Like Oliver and Company. One of the greatest Disney movies. That's so underrated.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, In October of 2009, she actually rolled her semi, and that killed her puppy.
You know, and that's
the sweet little puppy was with her, and he passed.
It takes a half a second to have an accident, and if you guys don't understand, an accident involving an 18-wheeler is bad.
Yeah.
Especially when they put him on the side. I mean, the driver's very lucky and has angels.
Very lucky. Survived. And all that happened to her in that wreck is she came out with her back. She had problems with her back and her arm.
Yeah.
So she goes on leave, obviously, from the trucking company. But the trucking company, her boss, is like, I get a feeling that Cotton's a piece of shit. And she's lying. And she is able to come and drive a truck.
Mm-hmm.
And she is able. She is not disabled. He has it in his mind. He's like, she is not disabled. So her boss from the trucking company goes and hires a PI to follow.
Miss Cotton.
Mm-hmm. And she's
just not ready to get back in the truck.
I don't know. I don't know if it was that or if it was like she just didn't want to work. You know? Like I'm not sure if it was fear or just the urge of not wanting to. I'm not 100% sure. But she had the PI got videos and pictures of her doing things like washing her bike, even though she is unable to ride the bike.
She still takes care of your baby.
She is still seen taking care of it and like lugging water to it.
Yeah.
So, oh my God, that was one of the complaints. I am the one that says, you're the coffer and I'm the Oh, shit.
You know, just... We're going to roll that one right off their backs. If we have...
I know, someone wants someone to shit on their face.
We're talking about the comments on iTunes. Folks, my opinion, if you love and rave about us, because it's awkward if I do it, I'll do it any fucking ways. But if you love us and you're one of those wonderful supporters that we have and understand why our podcast is the way it is, like right now. When we suddenly go off on a tangent about something else in the middle of a story, go give us some stars on iTunes.
People
hate more us. Goods are, they outdo the bads. Or, you know what? Maybe we'll make a list.
Okay, but someone really did say that they wanted someone to shit on them versus listening.
But you can't judge other people's fetishes. Dirty.
I'm just saying. You know? As fuck. If you get shit on, you're dirty.
I guess.
You got it. So, anyway, so...
Back to Honky Tonk.
Yeah, sorry. So once...
Our banter is the show, by the way. Anyways, go ahead.
Dicks.
Anyway,
so they get the pictures and the videos. And so in the spring of 2010, she was fired. But we don't tell Shorty this. Oh. We were like, let go. Shorty only finds out when we start dipping into his money. And so...
Why would she hide that from her husband?
I don't know, because when she got in the wreck, she wouldn't let him go to where the wreck happened to get her.
Uh-huh. To go help her.
Yeah. Like, he had to wait for her to come home. Taxi cab moment. And... I don't know.
Well,
why don't you, like, my husband rolls his, and I get there, and, like, under the time that it takes to get there.
Well.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. She just didn't want him there.
Us women can be prideful, especially when you're an independent woman.
True, and she does seem like a no-fuck-around bitch. She really does.
Yeah, it takes you a minute.
And she looks like she's small and sassy and old.
Maybe she was embarrassed. Maybe she was moving something, and... Something happened with the truck, and that's why it tipped.
You know? Maybe. I don't know.
There's anger there and resentment for sure.
Yeah. And they're like, their relationship is obviously getting worse because now that Shorty realizes she's using, like, the account, he goes and gets a new account without telling her.
So their communication is...
Not so well.
Yeah.
Because she's starting to get really jealous all of a sudden... Of all of his friends, and they're called Shorty's Angels. It's a group of chicks that he hangs out with at the bar. And when they first met, she was okay with being a part of Shorty's Angels. And then the wreck happened. And it changed her. The wreck is what they say changed this woman completely. Like, if it wouldn't have been for that wreck, everything would have kept going. And I know it does. I know it does.
Moment. Not yeah. everyone is a strong woman.
Well, especially mother, when you trucker. Lose your baby.
Yeah.
That was like, you know, she lost her fur baby.
Mm-hmm.
Someone died. So, I mean, to her, so it is maybe more tragic.
She has blame for herself, and that's where the anger comes from. And
maybe.
Like we said, their communication was lacking. So.
Yeah. So, like I said, she starts getting jealous, and so she goes out, and she meets a new friend, and his name is Rick. So she starts hanging out with him so much, and it gets, like, awkward enough that Shorty plans to leave, and when he's gone, he plans on getting, like, the power and all that shit shut off at his house. So that she has no choice but to leave. Like, she just has to. And, so he goes on May 28th, he goes to work and tells his boss, hey, I need a couple of days off. And I think he had worked there for like 20 years or something like that. And this is the first time he's ever gone and been like, hey, I need to go for like a couple of days. I need to go. I need to clear my head. I need to get zenned. I'll be back. So his boss noted that. So this is very weird. Like, shit must be very wrong between the two of them at that point. So on May 29th of 2010, he was seen buying an air mattress and donuts from Walmart. So that's the last time he's seen at all. That's it. Well, hold on. Before I say that, sorry, hold on. I got to tell you this one part before that. Before he goes missing, he goes to her and he's like, hey, like, we're in financial troubles.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start selling some shit.
Let's talk about this.
And, like, you don't ride adults. Your bike.
Yeah.
You can't. That sucks. We should sell it. And she was like, yeah, no, fuck off. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
No. So they didn't. So that needs to be noted in there, that she was holding anger and hostility.
Yeah.
Because her wreck has now caused her everything. She can't truck. Her man's trying to take her fucking bike away.
Shit's can't ride the bike apart. Anyways if your shoulder's not...
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, she's just, like, getting more and more angry as it goes on. So after that, she makes up this lie that this Hispanic chick named Mary pulled up in the driveway in a white Chevy. Shorty gets in it, never to be seen again.
Uh-huh.
Moved on to California.
Uh-huh.
And all his friends were like, yeah, fuck no. Thanks.
Like, for he didn't that even lie. Go get his final paycheck.
Yeah, so on...
From a job from 20 years, yo. 20.
Yeah, so 2 weeks later...
Yeah, no.
On June 16th is when his boss reports him missing. And that's when the story... And she goes to the bar and she's hysterical and she's telling anybody who will listen that this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, all of his friends, everybody else the cops talk to, say that's not a possibility. That could not have ever happened. That's not who he was. He never, like Gene said, he never picked up his last check or ever touched his 401k. Like, all the money that he had saved up throughout the years, he never touched it. It's remained untouched.
It's expensive to move across states.
So from the spring, from spring to summer... It goes cold. And then it reopens again in June 2013 by another guy. And this guy is awesome. He's like, okay, so we're going to get Cotton. We're going to get her in a room. This is 3 years later. We're going to get her in the room. We're just going to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see how shit pops off. So they arrest her. on July 13th. So is when this is all goes down, is when he can get his hands on her. So what he does is he offers her a drink. He's like, "Hey, you thirsty?" She's like, "Yeah, me too." So he's like, "I'll be right back." So he goes into his office and he empties out a box.
Mm-hmm.
And he starts putting random shit in the box. And he goes back in there and he puts the box down and puts their drinks down. And he was like, "Ugh, just had to get the evidence for the case. Got it all right here. Here it all is."
Mm-hmm.
So they lie to her. And she believes it. Like any old good gal does.
Yeah.
Well, and it's weird because Rick is also, like I should say, her newfound friend Rick.
Yeah.
He now lives in Shorty's house and is wearing Shorty's clothes and Shorty's cowboy hat. So, like,
the man doesn't have his own clothes?
He didn't, obviously.
Or was he one of those that need to be taken care of men?
Probably.
So,
he was killed on May 31st of 2010 is the day she killed him. And when she kills him, she strangles him from the back of the chair with a belt while he's sleeping. She comes up behind him and strangles him, which is horrifying. Fucking horrifying. I'm so glad that there's stairs behind my couch. You know what I mean? You can't get me.
Yeah.
So scary. You're supposed to be able to sleep there. Anywho, sir. But yeah, so that's what happened to her. And she believes it, like I said. So they go back to the house. Oh, and let me tell you, before, when he first goes missing, they do get a warrant for his house.
Yeah.
For the house only. There is a patch of earth outside of the house that looks messed with.
Yeah.
When they call that in to the sheriff at the time, and they're like, "Hey, no. Like, this could be a body." And he's like, "Well, how big is it?" He's like, "No, dude, Cotton said her dog died. That's where she buried the damn dog. Let's move on. Only stay in the house. Do not go back outside." Mm-hmm. "I don't care about a dead dog."
But that chief fella feels kind of silly now, huh?
Yeah, because it was him the whole time.
Yeah. He was right there.
And she made claims of domestic abuse. Right before the ending, she would call the cops and say that she was afraid. And when the cops got there, they were like, "Okay, but he's nice. And, like, he's calm. He's cool. He's collected. And he has no idea what the fuck you're talking about."
Mm-hmm.
And one of the nights right before he dies, she goes to the bar and freaks out and tells everybody at the bar, "If he comes home tonight, he's going to end up in pieces. Like, this dude better not come home." And so when they find his body, he's in the sleeping bag. She cut the sleeping bag open.
The air mattress?
The air mattress, sorry. She cut the air mattress open and put him in there. And just, like,
Buried him.
She only buried him 15 inches deep. How deep is that? That's not very deep.
That's a little more than a foot.
So that's not very deep, it's especially when you're supposed to be six foot hole.
That's hard. Try it.
Well, no.
Wait until it's, like, nighttime and raining and go outside and dig a grave.
The people that do it in the winter, God bless your, like, you have motive.
We have backhoes now. That helps, like, too. But
I know, but still the people who, like, raw dog it in the country, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, try to bury you in all that hard ground, and they still do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were on a, dude, you're going in the ground.
Well, sometimes they would have to wait.
I would be the laziest killer. I would give up. I'd be like, "Yeah, fuck this ground. Just dump it. Let's fucking roll. Let's go. Dump it out. Let's go." So,
You would be a terrible killer because you have a conscience.
I would. Conscience. So, she says, this is what she says. She says, on the night of May 31st, 2010, she was cut and freaked. They got into an argument with this nut. For some reason, first she sprayed chemicals in his eyes. This makes him upset. At this time, she takes a knife from the fruit cutting. And she cuts him. Only on his hand, is what she says. "I only cut him on his hand, that's it." And she runs into the bedroom and locks the door and she goes to bed. He sits down in the living room chair and she says, that's where I found him the next morning. Was asleep, dead. I mean, not asleep, dead in his chair. And then the coroner
at the autopsy. Was there a massive amount of blood?
No.
Where he bled out
from the head? And the autopsy revealed that he was, in fact, strangled to death.
Did he have a knife mark at least?
It doesn't say, they don't say. The article that I read actually says what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
So, she got 18 years apart. That's a part of her plea deal. And also a part of her plea deal is that she has to do at least half of that before she can go up for parole.
So she's...
Go on. About how mad you are.
So she is gonna have a mandatory 9 years...
She's 63.
For premeditated... I don't give a shit!
I'm pretty sure she's probably dead by now. I don't give
a
shit!
It wasn't a violent rage! She crept up behind him while he was sleeping like a freaking puma and
did it or did it not scare you? Choked him out with
a freaking belt. Yeah, dude.
I was terrified. The whole time I was watching, I was like, oh my God.
She thought about that shit. Oh my God. You know, I don't think so. Where's her life sentence? Where's her 25 years?
Well, she took a deal. Because it was so many years later. I mean, really, that long after the fact?
Isn't there... You know,
just because she says she was going to kill him and now this dude lives here doesn't mean anything. Her story, if she would have stuck to it, was that he left with Maria. Oh, and she claims that Maria used to sell tamales out at his work. And his boss was like, I've never had a tamale chick out here. Ever. Like, I don't know what tamale chick he met out yeah. here. And who the fuck picks a tamale? Like, who does that? Who's like a tamale chick for sure? Everybody will believe it. No one believed it. Not one person in this town was like, oh yeah, he left with a girl. The day she went into the bar and did that, and then they were like, oh, Shorty left. Everybody in this town was like, Cotton. Where'd you put him? What did you do? Except for the police couldn't prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew it. No one could prove it. Until the day that she was tricked into confessing. So yeah, she got a deal. And she's old. This is two old people. Who one just got rid of the other one. So that she could have the house, the money, the truck. And go on. Because she's still his wife.
So you're just saying, just wait until you're older to kill people. Because then they won't give you as much time.
They don't. I mean, you know what? Obviously, they don't. I mean, we'll see what Golden State comes away
with. That's outrageous. But it is absolutely outrageous. It should be a life sentence for a life. And I understand that some states differ. So in my mind, a life sentence is equivalent to 25 years.
Yeah. You would think.
You know? I mean, a rage where you guys are boxing and both of you guys... It's a fair fight, and then he dies of a brain aneurysm, and you really didn't mean to kill him. He was just being a dick or whatever have you.
Hold on, the opening of the Mountain Dew. Go on.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know. I guess maybe that's my misunderstanding between manslaughter and murder. I thought the manslaughter was oop accident. I didn't really mean to... Someone died.
No.
She just took a murder. She planned it. She thought about it. She threatened him in public. Dumbass. You know?
But it's still, it's the friends against her. Friends say anything. Have you watched...
I don't know. Friends that have known him for years and years and years.
Doesn't matter. Then that's why they have more intention to lie. Like, looking at it as, like, a police officer, you're like, okay, well, are his friends telling the truth? They could just not like her because she calls herself Cotton. Like, we don't know. We don't know if his friends, they were like, oh yeah, we liked her. We didn't mind. That ain't the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah.
You know? I'm getting some vibes like we hated a bitch. So.
Especially at the end.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's.
You get defensive. And she's so little. And the guy Rick, he is really not valid to the story. He was just the new.
He was just there.
Yeah, he's just the new boo, wearing the clothes, wearing the hat.
He didn't dig the hole, is that way?
No, he says, though, that she did at one point in time in an argument threaten to kill him, too. But he says that he didn't think that she was serious. And that she just said it to be silly. In the heat of the moment and try to intimidate him. But it's just weird. And then, like, they're at the, when they do the search warrant, her and Rick are sitting at the table playing, like, a crossword game to each other. It was weird. I don't know. I just think, I look at the little weird shit and the thing is weird. But yeah, that's the story of them. But anywho, on to other business. Sorry. Have you watched the Gabriel case on Netflix yet?
I'm trying to get through it. My God, that man irritates me.
So, No, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the sweet little boy.
Oh, I thought you were I was thinking the football guy.
No.
That you told me to watch.
No.
Oh, but no.
No, this is the sweet little baby. He was like 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Watch his story, mm-hmm. because this is one for you, Gene.
It's going to make me cry.
It is. Damn it. Because in this story, everything that Gene always says should happen, happened. But yet, an 8-year-old little boy died. If you haven't watched it, skip forward a little bit. I'm going to explain a little bit to Gene because I have to, because then she has to go home, explain it to my cousin, try to get my cousin involved to watch it, and it's a horrible sight.
No, you start the program before he comes in the room.
Or that. Five. Or that. But okay, so this sweet little boy, okay, he's 8 years old. He, when he's born, he goes to live with his gay uncle, him and his partner. They mm-hmm. raise him up. Then the family is like, he doesn't need to be raised by some gay dudes. We'll take him. So they take him. And then the state tells them, nope, he needs to go back to mom. Mom's boyfriend lives there. There's also a brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
They, oh my God, this poor little baby was beat from probably day one of going to his mama's house. And he gets locked in a cupboard every day in his mom's room. And they beat him.
Why? Okay?
The teacher reports it to the state, to DCF. The family reports it to DCF. Everybody in contact, even the security guard at the food stamp office, calls 911 and is like, hey, this little boy had cigarette marks on the back of his head. He's beat the fuck up. This is an 8-year-old child. So he calls the 911. Everybody else he worked with in the government building uh-huh. was like, dude, it's Friday. We don't pay overtime. Let it go. Uh-huh. Let's go. He's the only one in the whole building.
Well, good on you, sir.
Did anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So good on him. And his teacher reports it to DCF, to the right steps.
Is this the state of Idaho?
No, California. Oh. And they go and they tell, and the mom is like, no, I didn't fucking do it. Some little kid in the neighborhood beat him up. And they're like, okay. So in the reports, they write down that this sweet child, this sweet baby, was a liar.
Did it verify with any hospital or doctor or teacher?
They didn't even look at this child when they got there.
What do you mean?
All they did was speak to the mom or the boyfriend and leave. They would give an explanation to why the report was made, and then the state would leave. Just leave.
Oh.
And the one old lady that worked for the state, she's like, shit, they're nice-ass people. Are you fucking kidding me? And half the time, that little boy was in that cupboard with a sock in his mouth and a bandana over his face. Handcuffed. In a fucking cupboard.
Why?
When he had his autopsy.
Why didn't he just stay with that?
No, dude, I don't even know. But when he had his autopsy, there was nothing but cat litter in his stomach because all they would feed him was the cat litter from the litter box. That's all that was in his stomach. And his sister and brother testified to sneaking him food through the crack of the cupboard. Okay? And they were like, we watched it all happen. And I guess one night, he told his mom that she should leave, I guess, is what the parents claim. And was like, why do you let this dude treat us like this? And they beat him up so bad that he died. Well, he came back. They revived him a couple of times at the hospital. But that was it. When the cops are there and, like, trying to save her son, she's worried about her other two children and her cats. They never ask her or the boyfriend, never ask what hospital he's going to, what's going on with him, and what's happening.
And the state put this boy in their her care home.
And never checked on him. When there have been previous reports of physical abuse.
Mm-hmm.
She's already had these kids taken away previous for physical abuse, and they never once look at this baby. Never once. Oh my God. So he dies. Because
they're homies.
Yeah. So he dies, and the state goes after the social workers.
Well, damn.
And
Skippy.
The cops. Because there had been multiple cops that went out there that didn't even write a report. They just went to the house. The mom said it didn't happen, so they left. At one point in time, this sweet little innocent child was put in the back of a cop car to scare him and told by the officer, if he keeps making up these lies about his mom beating him, then he's going to be the one that goes to jail if he doesn't stop lying. No one is fired. No one. None of the officers.
What was the point of the state even going then?
What was the point? Comes back to everybody, Gene, who saw this kid did the right thing. And he still died at the hands of the state. Still died. The boyfriend was put to death. He got the death sentence.
Good.
He'll be executed in California at some point in time. Once he got his, he went first in the trial, and then the mom, and then the social workers. You don't see what happens to the cops. They say the cops were disciplined in-house. And so there was, like, no one was on leave or anything for it. They were just punished within there and, like, a mark on their record that they didn't do what they should have done. And, like, some of the social workers, their lives were tarnished and fucked up forever. But, my eyes, you didn't do your job.
No.
You lied.
No. If you don't give a shit, go work at Subway.
And, like, the teacher calls and tells them, this little boy comes to me and tells me that his mom shot him in the face with a BB gun. His face is all fucked up.
Yeah.
And she does nothing. So she makes a report of it. And she's like, oh, yeah, they said that this little lying boy said this happened. And, like, the old lady in her report says that he's rude to his teacher and he's, like, rude at school. And this teacher adored him. He was the sweetest little thing. And he told everybody everything. He did not tell. He told everybody, my mom punches me in the face. Like, I got this black eye from my mom. No one fucking does anything.
No one cared.
No one fucking cared. And he died. It's horrible.
Why didn't they just leave him with dad?
Well, and dad was in prison at the time. Dad's at the trial, dude, so it's so sad. At the end, the prosecutor, when he wins and they get the death sentence or whatever, he hugs the dad and they have, like, this really sweet, adorable moment of, like, just tears. And, like, he's this gangster, thugged out looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels so horrible that he wasn't able to be in the right state of mind, be present, and have his son. And that this is what his son ended up dying from. So it's just sad.
Like, family members step in and he take the kids and be
they
like, tried. You know what, fuck you, you don't want this kid.
Well,
anyways.
They didn't do that. They didn't go as far as that. But cousins did say that, like, they would go over there and stay at his house so that he wouldn't get beat up. Like, they would go out of their way to, like, try to go stay over there and make sure he didn't get beat up at least that day. To, like, cut him a break. But, like, his sister said that, like, once she tried to feed him a banana. Dude, it's so sad because at the end, like, that shows his brother and sister finally, like, their interviews with the cops. And the little sister said that she feels bad because she never got to say sorry. And the cop's like, well, sorry for what? And she's like, that I never played with him. And every time he wanted to play with me, I wouldn't. Because she'd be playing with her friends. And so she'd tell him no.
Mm-hmm.
And then she wanted to say sorry because he spent all his time alone in the dark. Dude, it was so fucking sad. So sad. And it's like, now I guess there's this whole thing where I guess now everybody is like, oh yeah, child abuse is bad. So hopefully...
Why is this a new concept?
I don't know. But hopefully this little boy's story, now that everybody around the world, because it's on the top 10 of Netflix,
mm-hmm.
watches this show, maybe some shit will change. But maybe I don't know, because right after, in the same... It was like they were only a couple miles apart. Another little boy was beaten and killed by his mom and her boyfriend. Like, a year after this little boy.
Mm-hmm.
So...
And the gosh damn West Yellowstone kid.
Well, what one? Oh, yeah, and then him. It's, and then you have him. It's just horrible. It's just... And then you got... So...
There's no checks and balance system for the state.
No, there's not.
Nowhere to complain to where they need to check, because it's... I fully believe that it's a situation where... The person that has had repeated, you know, that mom, mm-hmm. she had been buddies with somebody. Oh, he's just an automatic liar. He's an automatic liar.
No, why she was just good at manipulating. You know, she wasn't friends with any of them. None of them were like, when half of them were like, shit, we just hurry up and did it. The mom said he lied. He was out playing.
So if there had been a checks and balance system.
Yeah, if they were, know, no, if they like, did their job. Where's your
pictures? Exactly. So who's checking on them to make sure that doesn't happen?
He got again? In trouble too. Literally all
like
of them
the administrator, did. The boss at that fucking time. I'm serious.
Yeah, yeah, he I'm did. Serious. But they ended up charges ended up getting dropped against all of them because they are not responsible for the actions of the parents that killed him.
Can they are were they removed and never can no. hold that office again?
No, that didn't happen.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. Yeah. Years later, of course, everybody got reinstated, the whole thing. And all the social workers and everybody was like, I did my job. You didn't.
No. No, you fucking didn't.
They were supposed to fill out these cute little papers that have the little body on it. That have the cute little body on it. And mm-hmm. you're supposed to mark every time that you see a new thing. His mom beat his teeth out with a fucking bat. Dude, his teeth were all jacked up because she, with a little billy bat, she fucking knocked his teeth out. Yeah. Never taken to the dentist. Never reported. No one reported this. And it, he told everybody, like, my mom did it. Fuck. I love the bitch. She's a great mom. When he died, on his desk at school was his Valentine, I mean, not his Valentine's, his Mother's Day card to his mom.
Mm-hmm.
That he made. And his teacher, since she had been reporting the abuse, was like, he probably hates his mom and doesn't want to do it. He wanted to. His pictures of him with him holding up the mom, like the letters of it saying mom, he's bruised and beaten and tormented, this poor little baby, and still writes down that he loves his mom because she's beautiful. And he loves her smile. And he wrote a note that was like, I'll be good. And like all this sad shit, dude, he took all this blame on himself at his dying day, looked up and saw his mom and wondered, why the fuck does she not love me? Like, I love the shit out of this woman and she just doesn't care. There's no compute. So yeah, you should watch it.
I can't watch it. I can't watch torture like that, dude.
It's horrible. They take his little, box that he lived in into the courtroom. They take it out of the apartment and take it into the courtroom. A lady walked into the apartment with little yellow stickies to put arrows like where his blood was. She ran out. So the color of the stickies change. As like the evidence pictures go.
Uh-huh.
There was over like 2,000 pictures or some shit that they entered into evidence, and like it was huge. It was massive.
And the charges on the social workers were dropped.
Because they were not responsible for what they did.
Okay, so if you tell me that this mom just got probation...
She got life.
Okay, good.
he got execution. She did a deal because when he got the death penalty, she got scared. And so,
well, yeah,
she was like, okay, well, they put him to death. What the fuck are they going to do to me? They're going to hang me right here in the square, bro. And so she goes and makes a deal. And her deal is that she gets murder one. She gets life with no parole ever. She will never see the day out of jail ever again. And that she has to admit her wrongdoing, that she caused her son's death. And she does it so nonchalant. And then she reads a note, too, where she pretty much is like, one day, I hope that my two kids will come to their fucking senses and come back to mama because I love them. And she was like, oh, yeah, and I'm sorry about the other one. Sorry.
Can part of the deal be that whatever pod she goes to, they get a bio?
Oh, dude, it shows pictures. Her. They show clips Please. Of her in the jail, like mm-hmm. in the pod. She a rowdy bitch. She's causing a scene. They're like holding her down, like four or five of them.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, what you doing in my cell? What you doing in there? Like being all crazy and shit. And then they get her out and they put her back in there and she won't put her hands all the way through the thingy to get her cuffs off. And so she's like, starts yelling and shit. And she's like, y'all bitches are scared. That's why you needed everybody. I was like, yeah, solid. But she rowdy. She pretty crazy. And at first they were charged together, but every time they went to court together, she'd start yelling and like freaking the fuck out on him. You killed my baby.
Oh my All God. Sorts of Don't crazy act shit. Sorry now. Do
she
not
never
act
did.
Sorry.
She never was like, oh. Well, she did say it like, oh, I'm sorry. But like, he died. Like, oops. Shit went too far that day. Oops. Dude, everywhere. There was a mark everywhere on this body. When the paramedics got there, they thought that he had a skin, like a rash, like a skin rash disorder. No. It's marked. They used to fucking pepper spray him. They put him in the shower and pepper spray
no,
him.
No, dude, you can't breathe with that.
And they'd pepper spray this sweet little baby. And so he had like the...
The burns.
The burn uh-huh. and shit on his face. Yeah. And he'd go to school like that. And then, like, he had his head shaved at one point in time with, like, a bunch of patchy, like, sad, like, cigarette burns on the back of his dome. And, like, when he died, his head was caved in. Like, there was, like, a divot in his skull. Like, it caved in. And they'd shoot him with a BB gun. They'd beat him with bats. They'd put him up against his... The stepdad would grab him by the neck and put him up against the wall until he passed out and then drop him and like throw him back to the ground. It's horrible. And it just goes to show that no matter what, dude, tragic shit can still happen. You can follow every step that you think is right, but somebody else in the world is fucking up.
Uh-huh. Because they don't care.
Yeah. To someone else. And the one guy was like, oh, I had like 100 and something case on my caseload at one time. And if that's the case, and they're that low staffed, why is it not more pushed to be a social worker? Mm-hmm. Like, why is that not?
Well, because of the budget.
I guess, dude. I don't know. But I think children's lives are more important than a budget, in my opinion.
Oh, no, I know.
So that's his, dude, if you haven't watched that.
Oh, honey, I don't know if I can.
Dude, it's sad. It's so fucking
I'm
sad.
I'm gonna need, like,
his poor daddy testified.
Of Kleenex.
You do, because even I didn't cry. I'll admit that, I didn't cry. But it was super, dude, it's super sad. I had to watch it twice to make sure that, like, I heard everything I heard. Because I get busy and I start covering. I'm still stuck in one spot, but I cover. So I had to watch it twice. But, dude, it's so sad. It is so horrible, and it's just... is what it is. It's horrible. This little boy was failed, and then shortly after him, another little boy was failed. And then I look, and now that his case has made it, all these people are publishing and putting out all these different stories about child abuse and these poor little victims. One of them was a five-month-old little baby girl. 5 months old. She was beat by her mom, her uncle, her uncle, this mom's brother and the mom's boyfriend. The uncle raped this baby. Yeah. And they threw her against the ceiling and let her fall on the floor. That's how she died. The night she died, that was the game that they were playing too rough with her. They were throwing her up on the ceiling and letting her hit the floor. They let the 18-month-old baby bite her. And, like, there were bite marks all over this little baby's body. So her case is now in the view of the public and out there. And I'm following that one because that one's crazy and sad and horrible. And at a 5-month-old, how the fuck? Just how? So, like, all these things are out there now. And so, I mean, and it's been out there before. And that's just it. It's like, these are not the first cases.
Major changes need to happen. Yeah. Seriously.
Seriously.
Because I don't see it happening in the near future, but it really does have to happen where the foster care program fucks people up, people don't care about child abuse, or the kids are called liars. So then why would they tell you again? Yeah. I love to be called stupid and a liar. So you're certainly not going to go ask for help
more.
Yeah,
dude, it's horrible.
Or that poor teacher that was helpless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, like, she reported everything. And then she even said, like, she got to the point where she was like, I don't know if I'm doing good or if I'm doing bad. Because he came to school and told her, like, every time you call that lady, I get beat up that night worse. Like, he told her. And so she's like, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing, but I have to put it on record that this happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just horrible. And for a complete stranger, a guy that sits at a desk as a security guard at the food stamps, for him.
In Cali. Yeah.
To be like, oh, that ain't right. And, like, the little boy was, like, showing him his wrist. Like, when he walked by him, he, like, lifted his wrist to him. And he was, like, just bruised and just beat up everywhere. He could just see that everywhere this little boy was beat up. And, like, the paramedics said that they got lost in, like, writing down everything that was wrong with him. Because it was just, like, one thing after another, one thing after another. They were like, oh, shit, no, this. Nope, this happened. Oh, nope, here's this. And it was just after another. Spoon burn marks, like, in the shape of a spoon. She'd heat a spoon and burn him. Like, just horrible, horrible things to this poor baby. It was just crazy. Absolutely crazy. It just blows my mind. So that's why I've been watching on Netflix lately.
If that was, like, somebody you knew or was in your family, would you, like, put money on their books?
No.
Would you support him?
No, I'd never talk to him again. You killed a fucking baby. Like, I would have taken him. You know what I mean? And that's the first thing I would have told that sibling or that relative is, like, why didn't you just give him away?
Yeah.
You didn't have to. Like, no one forced you.
He would have had more luck if she abandoned him in the mall in another state.
Oh, yeah. If she would have just dropped him off on the side of the road, he was way better off.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
No matter what, I think. But, yeah. So that's what happened to him, dude. It's so, so sad. It's like,
a shame.
His name's Gabriel, I think. Dude, it's just, it's so horrible. And then another thing I want to get everybody's opinion on besides that horrible sadness is I'm in this group on Facebook. I think I've said that before. About the Daybells or whatever. Okay, so people in that group keep posting pictures now that Chad is back in Rexburg.
Mm-hmm.
They keep posting pictures of his house. And I think that's just too far. Like, you're really sitting outside of his house taking pictures of his house? Like, really? Like, I get everybody wants to know where the children are.
I'm not gonna drive my ass to his house.
Really?
I mean, and everybody needs to calm down. Has there been a court date that I missed? Is there?
No, not yet. She hasn't come back yet.
Okay, so go do something else.
Yeah.
Leave the man's house.
He said he did say. He said to, like, one of the major, like, news people, one of the morning people or whatever, he made a comment to them that the children were safe. So, like, I don't know. I don't think he would be like, yeah, dude, they're fucking safe. Like, this has gone too far. I think he is kind of at the point where he's like, I'm done. This is a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I don't think without her, I don't think he's as strong as everybody keeps saying he
is. And everybody is quick to judge.
Yeah. And like I said,
like, you know what happened. No, you don't know what happened.
No, you don't.
You don't know what happened.
No one knows.
Stop it.
So, I mean, and Chad did say that the children are fine. So, I mean, we'll see. We really will when they get her there. But I guess the other thing that she's probably going to go down for, which is not unfortunate, but I guess Arizona also wants to talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's her bad. We really don't care about that unless she's found guilty of it. And then we'll talk about you all day. But
I know that we will do updates when there's updates. But yeah. There's been nothing to update.
Yeah, the only update is that people are creepy and they're sitting outside this dude's house. Which, he does not live there alone.
Uh-huh.
His children, their children, his grandchildren live in these homes. Why the fuck are you sitting outside taking pictures like a weirdo?
Yeah. Maybe we, yeah.
No. You know what I mean?
That's dumb. Go do something else with
you. Yeah. Like, you're that poor. I understand
if you're his neighbor. Yeah.
And, like, you sit on your couch all day and watch the front door. That's fine, because that would be me.
Everybody has a 90-year-old around here that does.
Yeah, don't go sit in front of his house and take pictures.
You're going to drive from out of state to go
take
pictures.
And multiple people have posted pictures, different pictures at time of day. Like, in the creep of the night, in, like, the early morning. It's like,
is it the lure of true crime, maybe?
What has he done? Like, besides tell everybody the world's going to end. Well, yeah, you want to know. What are you going to do? You're just going to yell at him when he comes out of the house? Where are the children? Okay. Fuck, mind your business.
He might tell him. You don't
know. Yeah, like, you're going to be the one person that he's going to be like, I feel I need to open up to you. This is where they are. Thanks for calling, bro. Like, thanks for coming by. No one's asked me yet. He ain't going to fucking tell you.
I think it'd be hilarious if they really don't know.
Well, I mean, that is, I don't know. But you know what I mean? If we do find out that, like, they question Chad and he's like, I don't know, I just said that so people would stop calling.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. And do we know that he's involved in whatever happened to them? No, we don't.
Nope.
So, like, let's let Chad have a break, because maybe Chad's going to move on.
Unless you were there and in on the whole thing, and you don't have a soul, so you're not reporting to the proper authorities about what happened. First-hand information.
Yeah.
I agree. Back off. Go do something. Go volunteer your time somewhere else.
Outside his home.
Besides someone's house taking pictures, because you know what? Put that shoe on somebody else's foot. On your own foot.
Yeah.
Because guess what?
I mean, life, like, if I see him in the Walmart, you know what I mean? Click,
yeah.
Click. Bro, I'm going to take a picture. Hopefully with you.
If you want to do one of those selfies.
Yeah. And, like, have him in the background cute. And be like, uh-huh. You know, that's my prerogative.
That
I'll
is
do
different,
it.
Though.
Yeah.
That
I
is
see
different
you in the open.
Than you waking me up at 2 o'clock in the morning because you want to get a sunrise picture at his house. Like, who's the kids?
Huh. Watch my kids so I can go sit at Chad's house?
Yeah.
And take a picture?
Everybody say no to that question.
You guys
are
weird.
No.
You guys are just weird. My opinion. Weird as fuck. I don't know.
It's cold for that shit. It's not even 48 degrees here
People
yet.
People are wasting their gas. Just idling in front of his house. Making his house like a pollution spot. Just idling. Ugh.
Well, gross. I guess so. When you want to be famous, you get paparazzi.
Okay, but those children, like his grandchildren and stuff, they don't need their pictures being taken by people who are sitting in front of this house.
Well, and are those guys following the paparazzi laws? Because I think there's certain laws, especially when there
in
are
Idaho Falls
children.
For paparazzi?
I guess, dude!
For paparazzi
I
in
guess,
Idaho Falls? Because
now he's famous.
The fuck, he's famous. He's fucking a fugitive, according to half the people in the world.
You type
so,
Chad into Google, see what happens.
Yeah, Chad Daybell, stepfather of missing kids who should be in jail, who's not, is what's going to pop up. It's not going to be like, beloved fan, Chad Daybell. No. even the people who were like, I'm his best friend.
Those guys
have now come out and been like, I've only met him 4 or 5 times. When I said best friend, I meant best acquaintance is what I meant, not friend.
We're not that close.
So, yeah, that's the update on all that. That's the stories for...
Lots of venting today.
Sure. We just hate iTunes. I don't know why I keep checking it. I just keep hoping one day someone's going to be nice.
Do a 5-star.
Hasn't fucking happened.
On our unique podcast.
Yeah.
I like it.
Me too.
All right.
So, all right. Check us out on Twitter at itiswhatitis208, because that's where we're from. On Instagram, it is what it is, pod19, all one word. On Facebook, it is what it is, a true crime podcast. On YouTube, it is what it is, a true crime podcast. If you cannot find us, it's your fault. But if you have to, and you absolutely have to.
Reach out on Facebook.
No, I guess you could personally email us at itiswhatitis, pod19@gmail.com. If you want to be secretly mean to me, because I would prefer that.
Well,
and I want to say this before I run out of time. I think the reason why iTunes gets to me so much is because I can't say anything back to you. Like, you can say whatever the fuck you want about me, but I can't get you back. I can't zing you. I can't. It's
not professional.
Okay, no, fuck you. I'll straight put it on your comment. Fuck off. Like, I don't give a shit. You're not gonna judge me. And to like, half the shit these people bitch about is shit I point out all the time. Yeah, we don't sound like we're in a recording studio. No. Because we're not. How many times have I mentioned we sit on my couch?
You actually posted in a rooms. Cute little pic of it.
Yeah, our cute little microphone. Like, you know what I mean? We are not high-dollar podcasters. We do this for fun. Entertain ourselves. And whatever the fuck we want. So, I don't know why people judge us so hard.
I know.
Like, good God. And some people, like, one guy wrote me, like, they don't know how to do podcasts, 1, 2, 3, 4, like, a list of shit.
Oh.
And I'm like, well, thank you.
For your information.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But, like, a 1-star, you guys, that really affects us. It really does. So, like, at least do a 2 or a 3. Don't be a complete douche. That's all I'm saying. And get ballsy and say it on a platform where I can call you out for being dumb, too. Don't just call me stupid. I gotta say stupid back. You're dumb.
You're not stupid.
And I don't even know that girl's login right now because I don't have that picture, that screenshot. But if for some reason, because people do listen to shit just to see if they are called out for being stupid-ass little fucking cunt bags, you are. And... if you want people to poo on your face, then grow to you. Gross. You're dirty. I don't want to be your friend. And it's fine that you don't like me because you're gross. And you probably have pink eye a lot. And that's just gross, once again. So yeah, follow us on all that shit unless you're a douchebag like the chick on iTunes.
It's just not the same kind of platform that they're used to listening.
Can eat me.
There's lots of different... podcasts out there.
Yeah, go ahead and check on another one.
Yes, absolutely. If you don't like it, recommendations all the time. Try again somewhere else. Absolutely.
Yeah. Armchair expert, morbid, my favorite murder, crime junkie.
Mm-hmm.
All of them. There's a 90s, 90s true crime one she hasn't released yet. When it comes out, I will share her stuff again because I already did. But it's going to be amazing. She does it by herself and it's all true crime and stuff from the 90s. Super stoked about it. But like her.
Uh-huh.
And she was sweet enough to reach out to me and be like, hey, I like your guys' shit. And I'm like, shit, me too. I'm going to like your shit too. I know I will. So it's just like, be fucking nice.
Yeah.
Ugh. Why don't you ask me?
Obviously, there's a lot of hate and anger in this world.
I guess. Take it out on everybody is mad at Trump. And
children
me.
And podcasters.
Yeah.
Don't beat your kids. Give them away. If you cannot stand them and you have to beat them with a baseball bat,
go ahead and
bring
them.
And they're not 18 or 21 and can bring out their own baseball bat to you too, then yeah, please give them away. Please. Yeah.
Abandon your children if you're a fucking douche.
Because nothing will happen because the state won't look into it. See? Bam.
There you go.
All right. Anyway.
All right. Peace out. See you guys later.
Bye.